publishers and reviewers require that it be literature. That certainly is my aim every time to write a strong novel that will capture kids.
Welcome to Angle on Writing, a podcast about writing, publishing, and book marketing. Welcome, writers. Today, I'm happy to be with a children's book author. Welcome, Mary Penny Hershey.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, it's nice to have you. I have had a illustrator on before, but not a children's book author. So, when did you decide that you wanted to write and specifically for children?
I think probably when I discovered the public library at a very young age. And I had access to unlimited amounts of children's books. And it was the first place that I could really make my own free autonomous choices in life. So having a library card was like being giving a driver's license to a child. And I remember the first day I introduced myself to the children's librarian and I said, "How many can I check out?" And she said, "Well, how many can you carry?" And I was just, oh my goodness, this is amazing. And then later in life, I was taking a children's lit class in college. I was a child development major. And I was so struck by the artistry and the complexity and the deep themes, the layers in good children's literature. So I was very inspired then. But like many things in life, it got away from me. And it wasn't until I was 40 years old that I got serious and said, okay, life is moving. You've got to do this. So I got very serious at that point, and I started writing and attending conferences, joining a writer's group, just whatever I could do to fully immerse into the writing field, because I knew that would be the way to go, that I had to get all in.
So, what was the first story that really made you feel like this is the one that you're gonna break out in?
So I'd written a book called My Big Sister Is So Bossy, She Says You Can't Read This Book. And it was just a such a juicy place from within me to write from that particular emotional landscape. And I got a lot of good feedback from conference leaders and my writers group. So I just fully invested in making that as good as I possibly could. And it took me 10 years. I was aimed at, I wanted to be traditionally published. I was so clear about that from the get-go. I didn't want to spend any of my time storing, printing, warehousing, distributing. Doing publicity. I wanted a big house that had the resources to do all that for me so I could do what I want to do, which is just to write. So at age 50, I landed my first contract with my dream editor at Random House. And if you would have told me when I started that it was going to take 10 years, I probably would have thought, oh my God, no, it couldn't possibly. I'm so motivated, I can do this. There was a survey taken years and years ago with the Society of Children's Book Writers about how long it takes for children's author to get published. And it's usually about 7 years. The time I was working full time at a very big job, which was a very heavy mantle on my shoulders. So my writing time was confined to 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. So I didn't have great swaths of writing time. So it took me a little bit longer.
So they picked up your book, and so you got a did you get more than a one book contract or?
It was for a standalone title with them, though the book did well. And my editor, Wendy Lam, I almost have to get up and genuflect when I say her name, but I won't to move things forward. I proposed a second story in the main character's story and then a third. So it ended up that I did three books about the same character at Random House. Which was just an absolute thrill. She was just so amazing to work with, so skilled. And it's hard sometimes when you write a book and it's perfect. Every word is just the way it is. I don't want to change anything. And then you have a very smart and savvy editor that says, yeah, we've got to do some developmental editing here. Not line editing, developmental, like this character needs to die a gentle death and get off the stage. But you know, every book that I've ever written and published, I've had such a good editor, and the book turned out so much better, so much stronger, so much tighter. One of the things in my first book that just devastated me was I wanted to write about a family that wasn't a traditional family. There wasn't a mom and dad, and it was a single woman raising two girls by herself. And after my editor read it, she said, "Well, where's the dad?" And I said, "There is no dad." And she said, "Yeah, there's a dad somewhere." I said, "Well, I want to show a single woman's household, that single parenting." She said, "Okay, but we're going to have to decide where the dad is because it has to be mentioned at some point." So she goes, "I'll give you the weekend. Let's talk Monday." And I just was, it's going to ruin it. I don't want it. I want to celebrate single parenthood. And so when we talked Monday, I said, "Well, the only idea I have is to put the dad in prison." And she paused and she said, "I like that. Do that." And so putting this main character's father in prison for a white collar crime opened up a whole new layer for the main character. She says at one point that she thought that kids could smell her dad's incarceration on her breath. And it made Effie such a stronger, more layered character. It was the right thing to do, but I remember how much I balked at it when she told me I had to change
Wow. I mean, that gives me chills
that.
because that is just, I mean, it's amazing when it's like, whether it's somebody in your writer's group, or just some author you're talking to or something, that you get that one kernel of an idea. It's like, oh, you have to do this thing to develop your character. And it's like, well, I don't know about that. But then it's like, wow.
It
Is
explodes.
oh, that is amazing. That is a wonderful story. Oh,
She was that
wow.
good.
That is great. And it's a great testimonial for editing
Yes.
editors. Sounds like this is I know with children, the children's book genre, there are so many different kinds of books for children. So, where does this fall? It sounds like this is maybe middle grade or.
Exactly right. The first three books that I wrote were middle grade. On the younger side, the main character's in fourth grade, and so that meant that second and third graders were reading it because kids always want to read about kids that are older than them. They don't want to read about younger kids necessarily. So 8 to 12, and then when I went on to, I wrote three more books with slightly older characters and more complicated issues.
So it must be hard for I know you work with other people who are writing for children as well, and they have these ideas for books, and then they have to figure out where they fall in this jumble of categories within this genre.
Right. When I teach at the writers' conference, I often have really new writers, which I absolutely adore. I love when they come in and they've got something and they don't really know. Is this a picture book or is this a chapter book or is it a middle grade? So that's one of the things I can help with is to figure out what's the age of the story? What's the emotional age of the child that's telling the story? Or is that the right person to tell this story? And that's always for writers of children's and adult literature is who's going to tell the story? That's such an important decision to make. So I love helping new writers with that.
And then there's, I know that it's like, especially when you go to conferences or you talk to people who are just starting out in the writing, they say, oh, well, I'm going to write for children because that's going to be much easier.
Yes. Bless their hearts. Just bless their hearts. Yes, children's authors get that all the time. And also, when people come ask me, how are your little books doing? And I'm like, well, they're regular size, they're not diminutive. Yeah, but it does look like it would be easy. Like, I always think, walking a tightrope looks easy. You just stand there and you just go 1 foot, how hard? But it's writing for children is. has the same challenges as writing for adults. You need to have the same set of writing skills. You need to understand, the 1, 2, 3 acts. You need to understand plot points and A story, B story. We have to include all of that. Now, sometimes people will come that want to write a picture book, which is basically an illustrated storybook, and the pictures and the text tell the story. And they have an idea because perhaps they saw a grandchild do something that was hysterical or charming or mysterious. And so they want to write about that. And those are great pre-writing exercise stories. Just start. And I encourage writers that aren't necessarily writing for children to come to my workshop for a day and learn some of the things that we learn about. How do you get started, and where does this fit in the genre, and what is the story that you're trying to tell? So I love working with writers from all different places, but it's not easier. Middle grade novels are held up to the same scrutiny, and publishers and reviewers require that it be literature. And that certainly is my aim every time, to write a strong novel that will capture kids. It's hard. And I liken it to it's not a sprint or a 5K, it's a marathon. And I've run marathons over the years, and it is a long, gruesome, you sweat in places you didn't even know it was possible to sweat from, and it feels like you have daggers in your legs, but the finish line is so sublime. It is absolutely transformative. So when I say it's like riding a marathon, it's like running a marathon. It's not to discourage, it's to inspire, because that journey will change you in ways and help you develop so much more focus, so much more discipline that you never thought that you had. I think it's made me a better human, it's made me a better employee, and it certainly has made me a better writer, because I know that, if I wake up and I've got a 16-mile run to do as part of my schedule to get to that marathon, but it's raining, I don't get to say, yeah, another day. Same with writing. If I wake up and I'm on deadline particularly, and I don't feel like writing, I don't have the option of saying, nah, another day. I've learned that I just have to get up and do it.
So, what is your latest book?
So I've got two projects with editors right now that are being reviewed. So fingers crossed on that front. And I'm working on a middle grade novel about an 11-year-old girl that inherits a lingerie store from her grandmother. And so it's really about, I love that place for preteens. We're on the precipice of puberty. And so they're kind of living an existence in both worlds. You probably remember that yourself, that there's this childhood pool to play with dolls and play games, but then there's this whole other world that's beckoning you. And I love that precipice. I think it's such a sweet spot. So having an 11-year-old inherit a lingerie store gives me a lot of fun and a lot of latitude.
Wow, that sounds very interesting. That's a
Oh,
great
yeah.
idea for a story and very, yeah. So where do you get your ideas?
I feel fortunately that I'm a bit of a channeler. And like for my very first book, even before I knew much about the main character, the title just came to me like it was on a jumbotron, just or an electronic call line like you see in the news. It just arrived, and they're like, okay, well, what about that big sister and little sister can I write about? Sometimes a character will just arrive for me, and when I say, the issue of where I get ideas, I'm a big and devoted student of Julia Cameron in the artist's way. I think the morning pages and artist dates are, it's just a treasure trove. So I make sure that's a part of my life. And so in morning pages, oftentimes things will come up to me. I just get a kind of a kernel of an idea. So I do think that there needs to be some practice for writers that helps you access ideas and sort of that universal vortex of creativity. So I really encourage writers, if you don't do the artist's way, certainly that's not necessary, but it's worked so well for me. Do some journaling, make sure you have time where you go for a walk and you just don't think of, don't take your earpods, just go for a walk and be present in the world. And you have to give yourself time for ideas to enter into your consciousness.
Well, that's great advice. You do teach every year at the Santa Barbara Writers Conference.
I do.
What are some of the other things that people come into your workshop with that they need help with?
Sure. Often they want to know what my agent's name is. Yeah, so they're kind of struggling with, should I write a book first and then get an should I try to publish it first and then get an agent, or do I get an agent first? So lots of questions about kind of launching. And also questions about, is this plot strong enough? Is the trajectory of this story going to hold someone's interest? Or just even the basics of how did you do it? What did you do to attract a author at Random House? And the other thing I tell them, and this is sort of what I call the spiritual economics, and you're doing it because what you're doing is, I think we need to give. You know, writing can become a very big place of self-absorption. So one of the things I did early on in my 10-year journey to become published is I looked for places to volunteer and give back. So if there was a conference, I would stay and sweep the floor. You know, if there were flyers that needed to be made. So I really believe that people need to give. And so I do encourage them that find ways, you know, join a local writers organization and volunteer. Do something, it just opens up all the pores that you need to bring in publishing to your life.
And you do that yourself as far as in kind of a big way too, because you work at an independent bookstore, so you just your life is surrounded by books and
Yeah,
publishing.
and I encourage people to get to know their children's librarian, go to their local bookstore, spend time. I always tell people, and it scares them, that you need to, if you're going to write a picture book, you need to read probably 500 of them. And so you need to, you know, it's fine to fall back on classics. Like I loved Goodnight Moon, or I loved The Runaway Bunny, and I want to write something like that. That's great. But you also need to know what's being published now. So if you come into writing later in life, for example, as I did, it was really important. I had a great, history of reading classic children's books, or the ones I read when I was a kid, you know, many, many millenniums ago. It's important that you read what's current. So really important that you subscribe to newsletters, that you shop your local indie bookstores, that you go to the library. You need to be current. And I love immersion. That really, really helps me. So being around books, there's something magical about it. And also going to conferences. I don't think I've ever left a conference, whether I was teaching or I was a participant, without something kind of magical happening. I think when you get that many creative people together, the alchemy is just blow you out of the water.
So with all this time that you spend with all sorts of other people's books, do you have anything that you're excited about now that's just come out or is coming out soon?
Well, a wonderful publishing story that many people have already heard was the story of Theo of Golden, which has been on the New York Times bestseller list, sold 1 million copies as of 2 months ago. And this was a self-published book by an 86-year-old retired judge attorney who lived in Georgia. So at 86, he decided he wanted to write a novel. And he did. And he decided, I'm going to self-publish it, which is a great choice for people that want to do it that way. He sold 175,000 copies of his self-published book by word of mouth and buzz, because it's really a remarkable story. Well, after selling 175,000 copies, Simon and Schuster said, "Hey, Mr. Levi, we'd really like to help you with this. Can we buy this from you and distribute it widely?" So I think that's such an encouraging story. You know, someone being 86 writing their first novel and then having it end up on the New York Times bestseller list. And I think we need hope, and I think we need encouragement. And I think it's a wonderful story. Probably needed some line editing. It's long and can be flat sometimes, but it's a gorgeous, gorgeous story about connection and kindness and helping one another. And it's done so well, kind of word of mouth. And that's the best way for books, and certainly in adults and with kids, kids talking on the playground about or carrying their book, with them. And so it's just, I'm so excited for this story because I think it really is needed in this time, a time about connection and kindness. I loved it. If you haven't read it, read it.
That is a great recommendation. I'm glad. I hope I will check it out myself.
Good.
Is there any other advice that you would want to pass along to anybody who is looking for help writing?
Yeah, I think there's some wonderful craft books that I recommend all the time, and you probably know these, but certainly Bird by Bird by Anne Lamott, which talks about, the lovely mechanics of it all is just get your butt in chair, write a shitty first draft. You don't start out writing Moby Dick. You start with some really terrible stuff. I started with some really terrible stuff that I'm mortified that I sent out, that was just really bad. But I love that when you write something, you fall in love with it. I love that that happens every time. So I encourage people. And then Stephen King, who is another person that wrote On Writing by Stephen King, which I think is so phenomenal about the writing life. And I usually try to spend one day at the conference talking about writing life, how important that is to, it's not just the craft. It's everything that comes to support that. And that means being committed to doing whatever you need to do to carve out that time for yourself.
That's very true. And one of the things I've said before is that if I ever get into doing merch, one of my products is going to be for writers, butt glue,
Ah,
sticking their
I love
selves in the
that.
chair.
Yeah, you re it sometimes it's just that simple. Just sit down and write. And Julia Cameron talks about even taking a 20-minute grab. If you just have 20 minutes, open up your laptop, go. And I thought, oh, that's not enough time. It is. It moves the story forward. So I really encourage people to whatever time you have, take it.
Well, that's wonderful advice, and I thank you so much for all your wonderful advice.
Thank you, Liz, and thank you for putting this out, for giving people the opportunity to share their writing trajectory. Thank you for being the kind of person that wants to do this. Very grateful to you.